Revelations chapter 22, verses 6 and 7. And he said unto me, these sayings are faithful and true. And the Lord God of the holy prophets sent his angels to show unto his servants the things which must shortly be done. Behold, I come quickly. Blessed is he that keepeth the sayings of the prophecy of this book.
Cookie almost beat you up here. You didn't see it because I was behind you. Again, I'm glad to have the opportunity to come before you. If you were in the Bible class this morning, I apologize in advance because you got to look at me again for a few minutes. So I'm sorry for that. But I'm glad to be here. I'm glad to have the opportunity in the rotation of the men taking turns preaching from God's Word, and I'm glad you're here, because if you weren't here, I'd be talking to myself. So I'm glad you're out here as the audience, and that we have the opportunity for a few moments to open our Bibles and to study God's Word, which is the purpose for being here, praising Him and studying so that we can be better stewards in His service. I encourage you to take out your Bibles and turn with me to certain passages as we get to them. There are some passages that are printed on the PowerPoint, and others that we want to go straight to God's Word and read from it that are lengthy. So as we begin this morning, I want us to talk about the open books. And if you'll turn your Bibles to Revelation chapter 20, verse 11 through 15, that's where we're going to begin this morning. Revelation chapter 20, verses 11 through 15. And the text reads this: Then I saw a great white throne, and him who sat on it, from whose face the earth and the heaven fled away. And there was found no place for them. And I saw the dead, small and great, standing before God, and the books were opened. And another book was opened, which is the first book of life. And the dead were judged according to their works by the things which were written in the books. The sea gave up the dead who were in it, and death and Hades delivered up the dead who were in them. And they were judged, each one according to his works. Then death and Hades were cast into the lake of fire. This is the second death. And anyone not found written in the book of life was cast into the lake of fire. And if you notice here in the text, in verse 12, it talks about that the books were open, plural. Books were open, and another book was opened, which is the book of life. And this morning, I want us to talk about three books. I want us to talk about the book of life. I want us to talk about the Bible, and then the book of deeds. It's interesting that as the dead, small and great, were standing before God, who is the judge, these books were opened. And a recounting in these books will be done by God as He looks in these books and in the book of life, and they were judged according to their works, which we will be judged according to our works. So we see in the text here there's several things. There's a great white throne. There's a judge on the throne. There are dead before the throne. And then, of course, open books are before the judge, with which He will use to reflect back upon the deeds of the people, which are you and I, as we stand before God in judgment. So again, three books I want us to consider: the book of life, the Bible, and the book of deeds. First one being the book of life, as mentioned here in our text, is the book of God's remembrance. In Malachi 3:16, it says, "Then those who feared the Lord spoke to one another, and the Lord listened and heard them." So a book of remembrance was written before Him for those who fear the Lord and who meditate on His name. And as it says here, a book was therefore remembrance, was written before Him. Probably had His angels doing the penmanship, writing in His book as a book of remembrance. It's interesting in this text too, it says, "And the Lord listened and He heard them." Now we can appreciate that, because in the Old Testament we've been studying the book of Numbers. And remember the Israelites, how they would grumble, complain. Well, God was always listening, and He knew before the thing festered up, He knew what the problem was. God knows everything, and we know that. And then they would bring their problem to Moses. Well, a lot of times God would already, His anger would already be aroused, and He would already be commencing punishment on those people. So we can appreciate that when it says that the Lord listened and heard them. He listens to us. We may not think that He does, But daily, God listens to us when we're talking or when we're thinking. He knows everything about us. And as it says here, in this case of Malachi, he heard them. So there's this book of remembrance that was written before him for those who fear the Lord and meditate upon his name. And that's you and I. Hopefully we fear God and we meditate on his name. And as a result, he'll remember that and he'll put us in this book so that when we stand before him in judgment, we can hear our name called out to have a home in heaven. This book of life is children of God. Philippians 4:8 says, finally, brethren, whatsoever things are true, whatsoever things are noble, whatsoever things are just, whatever things are pure, whatever things are lovely, what are things of good report, if there is any virtue, if there is any praiseworthy, meditate on these things. We've talked about here we need to meditate on his names. In this physical life, is there not so much that detracts us from God that if it can, it will? There's so many things that we have to have our minds on. That's all secondary. And sometimes it's hard to grasp that, and we have to work, and there's responsibilities we have to do in life. But here, the Philippian writer tells us that these are the things that we need to meditate on, things that are true, things that are noble with honor, things that are just, that are right, things that are pure, that are holy, honorable, things that are lovely. Another word for that is beautiful. We like to look at things that are beautiful, the majesty of the mountains, or a person, or baptism, or whatever it might be. What are things that are of good report that you can talk about and say good things about? If there's any virtue, if there's any praiseworthy, things that can be talked about in a good light, praiseworthy, that's the things that we need to think about and talk about. And he said, if you have those things, those are the things that we need to meditate upon. If it's dark and it's ugly and it's sad or whatever, you know, we don't need to be meditating on those things, because the Lord knows, as we said, he listens and he hears us. And he knows our thoughts. We need to meditate on these things. And if you look at these things are all positive. And that's wonderful if we can always be positive. We know there are sad times in life, there's going to be, but there's always a positive side to everything, and we need to try to be positive. And these, reflecting upon these characteristics, we can be positive in our life. It says, the names of the faithful are written in heaven. And look with me over in the book of Luke chapter 10. Luke chapter 10, verses 17 through 20. Luke 10, 17 through 20. And the 70 returned with joy, saying, Lord, even the demons are subject to us in your name. And he said to them, I saw Satan fall like lightning from heaven. Behold, I give you the authority to trample on serpents and scorpions and over all the power of the enemy, and nothing shall by any means hurt you. Nevertheless, do not rejoice in this, that the spirits are subject to you, but rather rejoice because your names are written in heaven. Now, wouldn't that be a wonderful thing if we knew automatically that what we've done thus far, if we could know without a doubt, without any uncertainty, that our names are written in heaven? These individuals were going out teaching and preaching, and it says they were amazed because the demons were subject to them. And he says, don't rejoice in this. Rejoice that your names are written in heaven. Wouldn't that be a wonderful thing if we knew without a doubt that we would have our names written in heaven at this point? We must at this point ask ourselves, are our names written in heaven? And of course, that's the whole ideology behind the thoughts and Revelation this morning, to remind us of our life as a child of God. Are we living in such a way that our names will be written in heaven? We don't want to stand before God and go, well, you know, Jeff, you did this, that, and the other, but I'm sorry, I don't know you. You didn't do what you were supposed to do. So you're cast into outer darkness. Nobody wants to hear that at all. Are we doing enough work for us to be recognized as faithful? Now, of course, our walk is about works, but not just works. It's about faith. We have to have faith in what we're doing, but there are works involved. We don't get into heaven because we do something, a good work, because we have faith, and we work. Faith works through our actions. And so are we doing enough, living the right way in our life, to be recognized as being faithful, to have our names to be remembered in the positive way for God to call our names to send us into eternal life in heaven? Ecclesiastes 9:10, very familiar. Whatever your hand finds to do, do it with your might, for there is no work or device or knowledge of wisdom in the grave where you're going. While we're living and breathing, that's the time that we need to accomplish stuff, because in the grave where you're going, where we're all going, each day that we live, we're one day closer to that death. There's no work or device or activities or planning. That's what that means, device, planning, coordinating. That's all going to be done away with when we die. Now's the time to do it. And I love how it says, whatever your hand finds to do it with your might. The old saying, anything worth doing is worth doing right. And that's certainly with God. Whatever hand finds to do, do it with our might. And then we move to the second book, the book of all books, the Bible, the inspired Word of God. It purifies us. In John 15:3, it says, you are already clean because of the word which I have spoken to you. These people had not been baptized yet, but John says, because of this word that you have heard, you're already clean. And that's, you know, I was trying to think of that in a different way. It's kind of like taking a bath. You know, that the word would represent, the clean would represent like the soap. The soap cleans you, but you're not finished, you're not clean until you wash it off. That water washes you off. And that's what he says here. You're already clean because of the word, but they weren't baptized yet. That final cleansing would be the baptism, and that would be the cleansing of the soul. The sins and the darkness in your soul would be washed away. But the fact that they've heard the word, they're already clean because they're listening to it and they're meditating in their heart on what the word has to say. That's how important the Word of God is. Just to hear it, we already become clean, but we're not cleansed fully until we're baptized and have our sins washed away. It also, the Bible, familiar passage, talks about that it lights our path in Psalm 119:105. Your Word is a lamp to my feet and a light to my path. Simply stated, if we don't have the Word of God, what are we doing? We're walking around in darkness. We don't have His Word. We don't know which way to go or what to do. We're just going to be using our own device to live in this world and make decisions. There's many, many people out there that do that. They have no concern about the Bible or whatever, and they work and they just toil every day. They have no purpose in life. There's nothing to guide them because they're walking in darkness. The Word is the lamp to the feet and a light to the soul or to the path. In life, people often ask three questions, and I know you've heard them. We hear them all the time. Where did I come from, or where do I come from? Why am I here? And what happens after this life? You know, they're all valid questions for some person that does not consider the Word of God as the authority, as the book of all books, the manual, if you will, from the Creator. It's not a very good parallel, but it'd be kind of like buying a brand new Honda and you have problems with it and you take it to the Chevy dealer. Sure, maybe they might fix it, but they're not going to have the right technical manuals and the training from Honda and all that to fix it, and that might be a bad parallel, but the Word of God is God's manual. This tells us how to live and have our being. Everything that we need to know about life as God's servant is from His book. It guides us. So people often ask these three questions: where I come from, where am I, or why am I here, and what happens after this life? And of course, we know that in the Bible alone are these answers found. That's because we're created by God, and this is His inspired Word that tells us how to live and have our being. So that's where these answers should be found, not in philosophy and these people that just dream up these things. Well, you're just here as a wandering spirit on this land, and so forth. Anyway, look at, first of all, we begin with man's origin and nature. Let's look at a few verses to validate these few points. Genesis 1:27, if you'll turn there, Genesis 1:27, of course we understand where we come from, which is important. Genesis 1:27, so God created man in His own image. In the image of God He created him, male and female He created them. Then God blessed them and said, be fruitful and multiply. Anyway, we're created by God in His own image. In the image of God, He created him, male and female. That's where we came from. What does 2 and 7 say? Turn over there. Genesis 2 and verse 7 says, and the Lord God formed man of the dust of the ground and breathed into his nostrils the breath of life, and man became a living being. Well, you're trying to tell me we came from dust? That's exactly where we came from. God took dust and formed man, and then breathe into his nostrils the breath of life. And when we die, where do we go back to? Our body goes back to the dust from which it came. It decays, but the spirit will go on with God and will be judged according to our deeds. And then over in the New Testament, look at Acts 17 and verse 28. Acts 17 and verse 28. says, in him we live and move and have our being. As also some of your own poets have said, for we are also his offspring. We are created by God. He created us. In him we live and move and have our being. That's where we came from God. And people in the world that don't read and study the Bible, that don't have any inclination about the Bible, they have these questions that ponder them. But because we're created by God, we have to go to God's Word to answer these questions. And that's what we have to get people in the world to understand. We are created by God, created from dust. He breathed into our nostrils the breath of life, and we became a living, breathing creature to serve God. And then the question is asked, well, what's our purpose here? Ecclesiastes 12 and 13, we're all familiar with that. Let us hear the conclusion of the whole matter. Solomon says, fear God and keep his commandments for what? This is the whole duty of man. And when you ponder that thought, that to fear God and keep his commandments, that's the whole duty of man, when you think about that, everything else, our jobs, our family, everything else is secondary. And that's a big statement, but that's what that passage teaches us. Fear God and keep his commandments, that's our whole duty. Now, we can still serve our families and work and do all that and serve God, but God is the first responsibility that we have, to seek him and to keep his commandments. Look over in Matthew chapter 22, beginning in verse 34. Matthew 22. Matthew 22, beginning in verse 34 to 40. But when the Pharisees heard that he had silenced the Sadducees, they gathered together. Then one of them, a lawyer, asked him a question, testing him and saying, Teacher, which is the greatest commandment in the law? Jesus said to him, You shall love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, and with all your mind. This is the first and greatest commandment. And the second is like it, You shall love your neighbor as yourself. And on these two commandments hang all the law and the prophets. To love the Lord thy God with all thy heart, soul, and mind. And then the second is to love your neighbor as yourself. Who is your neighbor? The guy next door, the family that lives over here on the right or on the left? No. Anybody we come in contact with can be our neighbor. And how we treat them will be noted. And as it says, that we're to love the Lord our God with all of our heart, soul, and mind. And that's just not randomly thinking about God from time to time. That's every moment of every day. As the Malachi said, we're to meditate on the Lord, as this passage tells us here, with all of our heart, our soul, and our mind. And then look over in Romans 13. Romans 13, verses 8 through 10. Romans 13, verses 8 through 10. Owe no one anything except to love one another, for he who loves another has fulfilled the law. For the commandments, you shall not commit adultery, you shall not murder, you shall not steal, you shall not bear false witness, you shall not covet. And if there is any other commandment, all are summed up in this saying, namely, you shall love your neighbor as yourself. Love does no harm to a neighbor, therefore, love is the fulfillment of the law. And the neat thing about love is a lot of things we read in the Bible, our faith, our hope, all that's going to be revealed on Judgment Day. But love, what does love do? It carries right on into eternity with God, because love is important, and that's what this teaches us. To love one another is fulfillment of the law. Love is so important that it transcends, it goes right into eternity with us. That's the duty of man, to fear God and to keep his commandments. That's our purpose here. Again, working and family and everything else is secondary, and people of the world need to understand that. That's why we're here. God created us. He created, his inspired word tells us how to live and to have our being and our purpose. And it's as simple as that. Whether people want to accept it or not, that's up to them. And then there's finally, well, what happens, you know, after this life? What's our destiny? In Matthew chapter 7, verse 13 and 14, if you'll turn back there. Matthew 7, verses 13 and 14. Enter by the narrow gate, for wide is the gate and broad is the way that leads to destruction. And there are many who go in it. Because narrow is the gate and difficult is the way which leads to life, and there are few who find it. So there's the destiny. We're going to enter through this gate, and it's talking about eternal life. So what it's talking about is, we know, and this gate to eternal life is narrow and difficult, and there's going to be few that find it, because it takes faith and it takes works. It takes doing the right things and being committed to God and serving God. to get into the to this holy city. And then look back in Revelation 22, 14 and 15. Revelation 22, 14 and 15. It says in the text here, verse 14, "Blessed are those who do His commandments, for they have the right to the tree of life, and may enter through the gates into the city. But outside are dogs and sorcerers and sexually immoral and murderers and adulterers and whoever loves and practices a lie." But He says, blessed are those who do His commandments, which is what we're supposed to do. Fear God and keep His commandments, that they may have right to the tree of life, and they may enter through the gates into the city. And that's something I want to see, and I know you want to see. I want to see this book of life. I want to see this tree of life that was in the Garden of Eden in the beginning. It says in heaven, there's going to be this tree of life. I love trees. I love to go to the mountains and see the beautiful trees. I can just imagine. It's hard to imagine, but you try to imagine what this tree of life might look like, and it's got to be a beautiful thing to behold, and I certainly want to see it on Judgment Day, this tree of life. So then we get to the final book, the Book of Deeds. This book is spotless pages, is given to all, and starts at the age of accountability. When a person, a boy or girl, is old enough to think and reason and know right from wrong, that's when this Book of Deeds begins. It's spotless. It's ongoing in this book are our words, our works, and of course even our silent thoughts. Everything that we do have our being, the things that we do with our hands, the things that we say, the things that we think in thoughts, in silent thoughts, those things are being remembered. That's ongoing. And of course if it's bad things, then it's going to be recorded in a negative light. We don't want that. We don't want any negativity in there. Romans 12 and 2, familiar passage to us all, says, "And do not be conformed to the world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind, that you may prove that which is good and acceptable and perfect will of God." You know, we're living in the world, and we're, you know, the body's physical, the world is physical, so it goes together. But inside us is a spirit, a soul that's given by God. So that's why we have to not conform to the world, because we are physical, and the physical side says, yeah, let's take part in the world and do what the world wants to do, because we do have a physical aspect to us. Our bodies are worldly and are physical, and so let's do what the world has to offer. But Romans says, don't be conformed to the world, but what does it say? Transform our minds. Think, meditate on the Lord. Keep His commandments so that we may prove that which is good and acceptable and perfect will of God, so that God will remember us and call our names on that final day to have a home in heaven. Our fate is sealed at death. Hebrews 9:27 says, "And as it is appointed for men to die once, after this is the judgment." Our life's deeds simply are finished at death. Revelation 22:11 says, "He who is unjust, let him be unjust still. Who is filthy, let him be filthy still. Who is righteous, let him be righteous still. He who is holy, let him be holy still." When we die, That's the stamp. Boom, it's done. It's a done deal. If you're unjust, you're going into eternity unjust. If you're filthy, that's how you're going into eternity, filthy. Righteous, then you're going to be righteous or holy. And of course, we want to be righteous and holy on our final deathbed. When we pass over, we want to be a righteous person, one that obeyed God, so that we can have a right to the tree of life in heaven. All books will be opened at judgment, as we read in our text in verse 12 of chapter 20. All the books will be opened. Book of God's remembrance to look at, that's been scribed, possibly by the angels, will be looked at, and names will be recalled, and deeds and works and thoughts will all be recalled there. And we ask the question this morning, will your name be there? Will my name be there? I sure hope so. Revelation 20:15, "And anyone not found written in the book of life was cast into the lake of fire." Now, isn't that a punishment? And that's not just for, you know, 30 minutes and then they'll pull you out a crispy critter and you'll, you know, grow new skin. No, it's not physical. It's a spiritual death forever and ever and ever. And there's no end to that. Forever is forever. And that would be a horrible thing to be standing before God and say, "Well, I know, you know, here's your name, but you did not keep my commandments, and you're cast into this lake of fire for eternity." A horrible thing to hear. But that's simply what it says. If your name's not written in that book, then you're cast into the lake of fire. Nobody wants that kind of judgment pronounced upon them. John 12:48, he who rejects me and does not receive my words has that which judges him. The word that I have spoken will judge him in the last day. People of the world that reject this book, the Bible, they're rejecting God is what they're doing. He who rejects me and does not receive my words has that which judges him. Because we're going to be judged by the words, because God created us and he put his word to tell us how to live and to move and have our being upon this earth. That's what judges us, the word, whether we've obeyed it. And so if we reject his word, we've rejected him, and we'll find out when we stand before him in the last day. Today you can correct your life and remove the deeds that you're ashamed of by repenting of your sins. And we reflect back on Acts chapter 2 and 38 when Peter was standing before them preaching the gospel message. Remember, there were people that assembled that were all for the sacrifice of Jesus, all for his crucifixion. And so when they realized, when Peter taught them the proper way, and they realized that they had just crucified the Messiah, can you imagine the guilt and the feeling that was upon their hearts? Can you just imagine that when they realized, when Peter painted the picture so eloquently to make them to understand, you have just took part in, you may not have driven the nails, but you sat there and laughed and scorned and mocked God's Son. You can just imagine how they had to have felt. And that's why they stood up and said, "Men and brethren, what shall we do?" And what does Peter tell them? To repent and be baptized, every one of you, in the name of Jesus Christ, and you shall receive the Holy Ghost. That's what Peter told them. Repent and be baptized and wash away thy sins. And that's what you can do today. The opportunity is here for you. If you're a child of God and you've erred in any way, God will forgive you if you're faithful to repent of these sins. You just need to come to God and ask that in prayer. And we can help anyone at this time today. Please come forward while we stand together and as we sing.